It's a podcast. We are
podcast summer.
It is podcast summer. This is a very special episode of the podcast. Fabulous Adam Richard, outrageous Scott Brennan, punctual Toby Sullivan.
We're at the beach.
We are going to talk about our trip recently to Adelaide.
It's
enough for an entire podcast.
Yeah, it's a special edition.
Can you not say the A word?
We went to South Australia. Where they make sweet champagne.
I've got A-town reflux. Fucking town. Oh, my God.
The planet literally swarms with all sorts of strange creatures.
Talk poofy to me.
Now, we should do a report on our recent trips. Should we not?
Oh, yes, yeah. Yes, yes.
Oh, gosh.
Yes, what I did on my holidays. Does anyone remember? I don't.
No.
Now, I don't know if you're aware, we were recently in Adelaide for the Feast Festival, and I got a text message from, I read a tweet from Nath Velvo last night, who is also...
He's there at the moment, isn't he?
Oh,
Adelaide,
right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was a couple of weeks ago. Whenever this is going out.
Yeah.
Whenever don't be again. Topical, Toby. You don't, know yes. It always ends badly.
Yeah.
All right. But... yeah, he said...
He was there after us. We were there, and then he followed the week.
We broke it. And then he sent a message saying it was like 2 a.m. at a lesbian bar, and he and Geraldine Hickey, our fresh lesbians, had agreed to do some impromptu stand-up at 2 o'clock in the morning.
At a lesbian bar,
which clearly means it was going off. Yeah. Unlike the Mars bar, which we turned up to, and there's like 6 people there.
Mm.
And I think the Feast Festival is not a gay and lesbian festival. It's a lesbian festival that have gays in to add some legitimacy to it.
Yes.
You know what? You could be right.
I reckon you're
remember
right.
The audience sounded kind of like this?
Well, I mean, Feast did kick off. It did kick off from the get-go with Glassgate, with lesbian Glassgate.
Or Plastic Gate.
Plastic Gate.
As it were.
On the very first night
on stage, appearing in their comedy gala.
What they did there?
Hosted by Laurie Bell, who is a lesbian.
There's one.
A lesbian.
Very good as well.
Very good comedian.
Very funny.
So she was hosting. There were a lot of lesbians there to see her.
Mm.
They love her. And there were a couple of lesbians on the bill.
Mm.
And then us.
Yes.
And
there was a table of lesbians sitting right down the front.
And they
were kind of like quintessential lesbians.
Could they be any more horrendous Bunnings visiting stereotypes?
Oh, my God. It's like a panoply of check shirts.
Yes, one floral.
Short hair.
The girly one had a floral one on.
Yeah.
They were all in their 50s.
Like a cross between Dawn Fraser and McLeod's Daughters.
Yeah.
That's what it was like.
Yes.
And seriously, their asses were lucky to all be in the same building. Like
Thank God we were performing in a tent.
That's why the lesbians organised a tent, because they knew a structure could not hold that much lesbian ass.
And they wanted to walk through a flap.
Ah!
Thank you.
Zing.
I licked it on the way in.
Yeah. So, yeah, so Adam and I are doing this, our spot, because Toby was coming the next day.
Yeah, because Toby can only handle so much as Adelaidean lesbian.
Indeed.
Correct.
Indeed.
Correct. I was having a last-minute Botox treatment. So I couldn't be there. My lips were too fat to fly. I had to wait till they came down.
So, yeah, Scott and I were doing, you know, one of our oldest, stinkiest bits.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That doesn't actually require much effort from Toby anyway.
No.
And we maybe mocked the lesbians for their dress sense.
Yes. Well, they mocked me. They had a go at me.
They had a go at you
I was wearing a black T-shirt and jeans.
Well, you know why? Because earlier in the night, the only other gay who'd been on stage before us was Hans.
Yes.
Who's a local German gay character who wears lederhosen and plays a piano accordion and has glitter and feathers.
Kind of drag and, yeah.
For fuck's sake, Adelaide. It really...
So he's put in an effort and we've just, you know, turned up like we do. The world's laziest drag show.
So the lesos have kicked off.
Yeah, going, look what you're wearing. And Scott described them as...
I think I said, you can't make fun of what I'm wearing. You look like the bargain bin in Spotlight.
To which
I
tried to support them Jackie O style.
Oh, you're terrible. Like,
you can't say that, Scott. I mean, I would serve dinner off that tablecloth. It's really nice. And then she said, it's from R.M. Williams, to which I responded, yes, an expensive tablecloth then. And then when we made reference about their dogs, they were giving us the finger.
But I think we might have actually done the whole, yes, she's a very expensive restaurant, but ironically enough, she likes to eat out. Hey. I think we might have done that one.
So it was going really well.
It was going really well.
And then later on in the night, there was another gay comedian on who...
It's on YouTube. You can look it up on YouTube.
Yeah, you can look it up on YouTube. And he was doing his, you know, kind of sardonic, you know, laid back.
He was doing stand-up.
Yeah. And sang a song about lesbians and how they're all superheroes and comparing them to Batman. And for some reason, they didn't like being compared to, whether it was a man or...
Or I think they just heard the word lesbians. And went,
then they started throwing glassware. Thankfully, we were in a... in a place where there was no glassware allowed. So they were throwing empty plastic cups at the stage.
Yeah, it somehow lessened the impact, really, didn't it?
This sort of limp kind of clattering.
It's just a sort of a particularly assertive seagull. Yeah. It's not really threatening.
And then
so that's how it started. It started with an audience riot.
Started
with people throwing shit at the stage.
Started with a lesbian landslide in Adelaide. Kind of went downhill from there, really, didn't it?
Well, but all the staff were, when you're saying it's a lesbian festival, all the staff were lesbians?
Yeah, yes. That's because gay men can't organise anything.
No.
Leave it to the lesbians. Yeah.
True that. Most of the acts were lesbian acts.
Yeah, there were a lot of lesbian acts.
All the big selling acts were certainly lesbian acts.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, there was a lot of folk music.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And a lot of storytelling.
A lot of storytelling. A lot of Ernest sitting around the campfire telling terrible stories about being touched up by my
uncle. They actually had a campfire.
They actually did have a campfire.
The whole festival took place on this... You know how Adelaide's got like all the squares, these big parks?
Yeah, there's King William Square and there's Light Square.
Yeah, and they're like a park that take over a whole city block. And so Feast was in one of these ones. So we basically sat on a glorified traffic island.
Yes. It was a giant roundabout.
With a couple of two-man trail masters set up and people hoping for the best.
And they had a campfire. Like, we're at the edge of the bloody desert. It was stinking hot. And we're sitting around the campfire.
Was it like an open mic scenario around the campfire where you could go and...
I didn't go in that part.
Tell your story and have your voice heard.
Do you know the other thing? This is the other thing I love, that it's so organised by lesbians. The campfire was in the middle of 4 shipping containers to protect it from the wind.
There were shipping
containers everywhere.
Yeah.
It was a great festival and we had a great time and I really liked Feast. But I reckon you're right. It's a lesbian festival.
I think it's a lesbian festival.
It's not a fag festival.
And they sort of go, oh, you better invite some poofters so people don't think that we're being... We don't need you to be patronising to us lesbians. Just you do your own thing.
It's our job to be patronising to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You do your own thing and we will continue with our, you know, we'll have our gay and 12-year-old girl and hens night festival.
Yeah.
We'll have the Miley Cyrus Mardi Gras.
Because I don't know. Recently, we had a screening for Outland, the TV series that I've done for the ABC, and a gay came. Well, a few gays came.
A gay, right?
But a gay blogger, and you know, gay bloggers, they pretty much set the agenda for what goes on in Gayland.
Yeah, pretty much.
And this gay blogger was so effusively into it. Like, I thought he was maybe going to rupture something.
Oh, right.
It was like, this is the best show ever made. I absolutely love it. It's amazing. Amazing! Right, and I thought the only other opinion that gay men have about things is, it's shithouse! This is the worst thing I've ever seen!
It's like the two gay ages, 19 and 80. Yeah. There's only two gay adjectives.
Yes.
Amazing and hideous.
That's what it's like. It's like a 12-year-old girl.
Yeah.
Who has no concept of anything but, oh, I love it, I hate it.
Yep, no shades of
gray. But even, like, you know, it's not even definite. It's kind of like, I hate it, I hate it. Someone else goes, I really love it. I love it! Just, you know, it can go either way.
It's hitty amazing.
They're fickle. Now, what else happened to us in Adelaide? We had... We had
glass-throwing lesbians.
Glass-throwing lesbians. We had... Scott discovered that there was a curfew at our hotel.
Yeah.
The hard way.
Yes. Yes.
This was on the first night, also the night of the plastic
cup throwing lesbians.
I needed something to take my mind off it, guys.
How could you remember it? You were so drunk.
I was particularly drunk. No, but I found out, like, you know, I got onto a bit of Grindr on action on the first night. They're hammered.
He's not fussy. He just chooses the closest.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's, come round.
It's proximity, it's not quality.
For.
Yeah.
It's what it's there for.
But, and because I was, you know, obviously fresh meat in Adelaide. Oh, man. I got a lot of attention. And
were you the most popular girl in school?
I totally was.
Yeah, do you know the worst thing was? I turned on the Grindr when I was there and just went, oh, it's the same eight cunts that we were here in Fringe 6 months ago. Like, it's the same eight people, the first eight people on Grindr.
I miss the validation of Grindr.
Yeah.
I don't want the sex. I just want people to tell me I'm pretty.
Aww.
I had an allegedly married man ask me if he could come over and put his dick in my mouth. And I was like, oh, I've got to get up for work at 4 a.m. But, you know,
see,
thanks.
Just something like that.
Yeah, that's what it, just that.
A girl can dream. I shouldn't be talking about this. This belongs in my journal.
Yeah. Why don't they make cards with that kind of thing written on them? I need that for gay men.
Roses are red, violets are blue. I'd really like to come around the dead of night and stick my cock in your mouth.
P.S.
Happy Mother's Day.
P.S. I'm a happily married man. I just want to see what it's like.
It's like sticking your cock in someone's mouth.
Yeah.
But yeah, you were grinding.
So I was grinding and I, you know, made contact with this young chap who was prepared to drive the 20 minute to come and visit me.
Oh,
and
Jesus, you've gone way down to the bottom of the screen.
I know.
If it was a 20 minute drive in Adelaide.
Yeah.
Where was he, Elizabeth?
I don't know. I think
he was my God.
Canberra. I'm not sure. But no, he was quite cute actually. And
he's chop her in from Seduna.
He just finished his shift at Westfield Marion. He was going to come on the O-Bahn and then come in the O-Bahn.
But he turned up and couldn't get in the front door because he needed a card, you know. So I went, all right, I'll come down and get you at the hotel. So I went running down and I met him and, you know, opened the door and said, hi. And we're sort of halfway across the foyer. And the woman behind the counter said...
She was a battle axe too,
she was a battle axe. She went, excuse me.
She looked like a Qantas stewardess. She was so old.
Oh, man. No, she looked like an extra from Prisoner. She was, that kind of... She went, excuse me. I went, yes. Is that a registered guest? I went, no. I'm sorry, we don't allow unregistered guests after 9.
What time was this? It was the middle of the night.
12:30.
Right.
Looked at my watch. Oh, I just missed it. And,
we were on stage at 9:30.
Yeah, whatever.
He was here at 8:30. He's just been parking the car.
Yeah. And
it's really bad at reverse parking. It's taking about 4,000 goes.
Oh, we're going to go back to my room and practice reverse parking now.
Adelaide, you can park anywhere. Yeah. There's actually no problem.
But I had to actually do the whole thing. But this is my friend who's come to visit me not actually knowing his name.
This is my friend, Sexy Boy 79.
Yeah. He's just come to visit me.
And what was he doing? Well, I have.
He just wandered off and looked at a painting. He was doing classic trade kind of behavior. He was just
looking at the walls going, is it too late to go to Pulteney?
Yeah. And I ended up, like I said, were you serious? No, I said... This is a hotel for adults, isn't it? I feel like I'm living with my parents. And she went, well, I'm sorry. That's just the way it is. And she said, oh, it's for the fire restriction. We have to know how many people are in the building. I said, well, just make a note that he's here.
Do fires only happen after 9?
Well, apparently so.
Are there no fires before 9?
No.
But she was worried that you weren't going to use any lube and you might actually ignite the sheet.
The friction. Yeah. I'll remember that next time I'm stuck out in the bush.
Well, look how old she is. She's probably fairly dry herself.
Well, this is true, yes.
And it's Adelaide. It's a desert.
Yeah, that's true.
So what happened to you, to Julia Roberts and Richard Gere in the foyer?
Well,
how did this wind up? What happened?
I made such a fuss that she went, all right, I'll allow it this time. And I went, damn right you will. Jeez. And we went up and rooted in the bum.
Well, good on you. That's ridiculous.
I stood up for my love rights.
I have a terrifying theory.
Mm.
That she was stalling you while Arjip, her little man she has come in, was installing the camera.
Ah,
someone's doing trade. Quick, Arjip.
Quick.
15:20.
That is ridiculous because, like, the hotel we were staying at, I'm just guessing, is probably not unfamiliar
No.
With hourly hires.
No, that's true. Yes. Yeah, that's true.
That this is the first time that Vinegar Tits has ever come across this circumstance.
Yes.
I think it's quite well travelled for schoolies.
Yeah, they must have.
Maybe fair enough, because then they'd be having 400 people in a room and, you know, wild parties.
And you know, she's taken one look at you. It was very dark, and she thought, oh, he could totally be 18.
Christ, it must have been dark.
Which is funny, because that's what the same thing the trade had done.
Yeah.
So she cannot be unfamiliar with this circumstance. Well, I think she was just being prissy.
Prissy. If that had been gorgeous, ugly blonde girl, maybe things might be different.
Yeah, homophobia.
Yes.
But yeah, you had a two-bedroom room.
Yeah.
Because Toby stayed with you when he got there.
Yes.
So I don't see...
I was there on my own.
Like that, he could have just been sleeping in the other room.
Well, exactly.
I mean, and he could have been Toby.
I've never stayed in a hotel that's had that kind of rule.
You should have
before.
Just said, this is Toby, he's a registered guest.
Yeah. And then, you know, when Toby actually turned up the next day, then she would have pointed him and gone, oh, why is he not Asian?
I've had my hair cut during the morning. Yes. It looks different.
I just had my ponytails in really tight last night.
You can't see
Oh, that was wild.
Did you, Toby, encounter any strange men that Scott might have brought home?
I did have a hilarious...
We were there for 3 days, I should point out, and Scott did trade twice. No, three times.
Twice. We were there for 3 nights. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. We were there for 4 nights.
4 nights.
Oh, well, in that case...
That's a 50-50.
In that case, you're being restrained.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, he may have actually been restrained. We don't actually know. We were out, what night? I can't remember what night it was.
Thursday night, because I had to get up for work.
That's right. We were drinking on the traffic island.
Yes.
And the exhaust fumes obviously got too much for you, because you went home early.
Well, I had to go home I had a rule of being in bed by midnight, because that was at least 4 hours sleep before I got up for work.
And we were drinking with those guys who'd come to the show.
Yeah.
That's right. We're quite smashed and drinking with some people from the show, and that was quite fun. You went home, and then we all went across the road to some other gay bar.
Some other homo establishment.
Yeah, some other thing. Where I had a tequila and then just went, oh no, this is how it starts. So at that point, I bailed out as well. And Scott was just hanging out on the footpath drinking with, you know, with these guys. And as I was walking away, I thought a little Murder, She Wrote voice occurred to me in the back of my head. I just thought, I'm going to see one of them again.
Or maybe two. Don't limit me. Don't limit me.
And then I got up in the morning well before Scott, and I was just sitting on the couch sending some emails or whatever, and I just hear a little rustle, and Scott comes out. And, oh, good morning, Scott. How are you? And Scott's, you know, strangely nervous about something. Oh, hi. And then over his shoulder appears the face of one of the guys from last night. And so it's like, it's trade here. Which I thought was slightly impolite to refer to trade as trade in front of the trade.
Oh, I think that was his name.
And I was not surprised, and I just said, you won the door prize.
Yeah.
We should do that at our next show. And our raffle ticket.
Who does Scott bring?
Just take all the guesswork out of it for you.
Yeah, good, okay. I'll
have a meat tray, an MWT tray.
I have to say that on the flyer for the comedy gala in Adelaide, it did, like, you know, before everyone's saying, radio personality Adam Richard, before my name, it had the words rampant slut. Scott Brennan. On the flyer. That was the advertising material.
Yeah,
but I felt like, well, I've got to live up to this. I've got to, you know.
First thing, apparently the trade had blown out. It started out as double trade.
We were just walking along, and we were hammered, and there was this gorgeous Italian guy sort of along the street. We started chatting to him. We said, come with us.
Oh, so he wasn't even at the pub. You picked him up en route.
En route.
Oh my God.
And he made it to the front door of the hotel and went, I'm out of here. Sorry, I've got to go. Bye. Because I think I said, now pretend that you're a registered guest. All right? And I think it freaked him out.
This poor man just waiting for a bus on a street corner and got trade-napped. No wonder he ran away.
Trade-napped.
The other thing about rampant slut is that we brought that up with the feast people, and they claimed that was the the copy they'd been sent?
I don't know where
who
that
sent
came
them
from.
Rampant slut scope.
I think they must have been to my website.
I think someone's Googled.
Yeah.
Because I did call you rampant slut in an interview. And so that was in an article.
Well, maybe, yeah.
So I think they've gotten that from Blase magazine in Adelaide. Right. Blaze, as I think it's actually called. Right,
Blase will do.
Blase is, you know, the vernacular.
Blase will.
But yeah, I think they might have got it from Blase.
How funny was the night sitting around when, like, all our friends came?
When half of the Adelaide Breakfast Radio,
half of Adelaide Breakfast Radio, was there,
who at the time is Craig Annis from SAFM, M. Rusciano, who's been filling in for Hayley Pearson, who's been on maternity leave.
Their hot producer,
Matt Malone,
yeah,
he's my producer because I work on that show.
Oh, is he really?
And Alexis, who is the 2IC of the radio station.
Oh,
Alexis,
my God. Oh, right.
Really?
Yes.
Alexis,
we'll never work
Alexis
in that town again.
Alexis is they've given them different names, but she's operations manager, it's called. It's basically second in charge of the station.
Do you know what we should do? We should find the podcast of the show from the following morning, because I'll bet it was a bit scratchy because we were sitting around.
No, this was Friday. Oh, so
this is Saturday.
Saturday we were all fine. And
we'll
Alexis,
never know.
I had helped Alexis pre-record her Saturday shift the day before.
Just as well. Because we were sitting around with all these people, you know, drinking on the traffic island.
Yeah. And as the cars went past.
And I can remember very clearly, we were so hungover by this stage, we were in a fairly bad mood.
Yeah.
Like, we were pretty crotchety. And I can remember, Adam, you just go, and they were having fun, but we weren't really having fun. And I remember, Adam, you just went, get out the AMOL, that'll fix it.
And it did. It really did.
It definitely
it
did.
Everything. It made us giggle and gave us a headache.
And there were a lot of people there that it was their first time
never
having it as well.
Before.
And now, this is what I don't... I want to talk about this. I don't understand why straight people are so terrified of AMOL. You say, do you want... We're going to have some AMOL. And they're like, oh, no, what is it? What is it?
Is it terrible drugs? And I feel like I feel like saying, imagine you got a whole texter.
Yeah.
And just squeezed all the juice out of it.
But it's not the first time it's happened. People freak out about AMOL. What's going to happen? How do
there was an old high school friend that I ran into at the Peel ages ago. And, you know, we run into each other every now and then. And he...
I'll bet you do.
We back into each other every now and then. But he...
Was he an unregistered guest?
Yeah, apparently. But he...
I've got an unregistered guest in my back passage again.
But he was chatting up this guy one night. Oh, God.
I've taken quite a lot from the minibar. Hello, front desk.
Yes.
Can you bring around some more lotion?
I need some more milk and a Snickers.
Snickers. I'm halfway through an unregistered guest. I need more energy.
Creating new euphemisms. Yay. But this guy that I went to high school with was chatting up this guy, and and it seemed to be going well. And then I saw him on his own a little later on, and I said, what happened with that guy? And he said, we went to got on the dance floor, started dancing. Turns out he's a drug addict.
What?
And I said, what do you mean? He said, got on the dance floor and got out some AMOL. And this is a gay guy going, turns out he's a drug addict.
Remember that night we were out the back of DT's?
Oh,
and there was that couple. And we were trying to, you know,
we wanted to couple bust.
When we have AMOL, we need to get everyone to have it with us so we don't feel so rancid.
Yes.
It's so that hopefully someone will be louder and more revolting and
more
fart more than us.
Yeah.
And we'd given it to this guy, and he went to have it, and his boyfriend, who was a prissy bitch, turned into an annoying straight woman and started going, what are you doing?
Why do you need that? You don't need to have that.
She turned. What are you doing? You don't need it. You don't need it. Like, as if he was going to have one toot of AMOL and then, you know, I had to leave Troy at DT's because he started shooting up into his eyeballs at the end of the night.
Yeah.
It happens all the time.
The fact that AMOL lasts maybe 12 seconds at best.
And people look at you ashen-faced. What'll it do? You'll have a toot. A rainbow will emerge from your anus and you'll know how you're going to die.
Yeah.
you're going to be a bit dizzy for a while.
You'll and see dead people.
Yeah. Have you ever seen Trainspotting? That whole film happens.
Because of Amel.
You'll
see the baby on the roof, you're going to the toilet, it'll all happen.
So there's this knot of people from SAFM sitting around with us. We start passing the Amel around and it was very peer group pressure. Everyone was very nervously. Yes. People,
I don't want to do it.
One by one, they would nervously have a little toot and then it would be like, 2, 3, 4, and there we have it. Smile would start spreading across their face and they'd start to giggle a little bit. And then they'd go,
And I love that they went from really tentatively sniffing to just trying to grab it out of our hands. Just give me more, give me more.
It turned into Wes Snelling with a microphone at a karaoke night.
How is Jess, this little demure, beautiful little, you know, tiny little girl, very stylish and, you know, and a very assured young woman. And she was like one of the most tentative to take it. And then inside 20 minutes, she was like Hoofy McSnort fest.
She went from like Charlotte from Sex and the City to Molly fucking Meldrum. Within about 20 minutes.
She became an overnight Amel pig.
Yeah.
She was on the verge of doing it through the mouth.
Not
through the mouth. Don't do it through the mouth.
I love it through the mouth. I don't know what gets into me. Oh, do you know my other favourite thing from that night was Em Rusciano, as the true diva drag queen she is, had a costume change.
Yeah, she popped home halfway through the night.
She was staying at a hotel, like, spitting distance from the roundabout. She just wandered off and then came back in a completely different outfit. Not because it was cold or she needed, but because...
Or it was a particularly grand social occasion. Yeah. No, it was a traffic island.
She cannot be out for too long without a costume change.
She's amazing. Amazeballs.
And then
absolutely amazeballs.
She agreed to walk down the street with me, down Hindley Street, where people get stabbed and murdered with horrible, alarming regularity. And there are 24-hour bars. She walked down Hindley Street with me in her glamorous costume while I wore a onesie.
What? Your Peter Alexander onesie.
A
very stinky Peter Alexander onesie by that stage too.
Now, I have a lot of blackouts from that whole week. I remember it in patches. It's like watching the Previously on Lost. Yeah. Is my memory of that. Why were you wearing the onesie? Why had you put the onesie on?
Oh, because Craig had, that morning on the radio, I'd walked into the studio while they were off air.
Yeah.
And someone had said, oh, what are you doing now? And I went, I'm going to make Craig suck my nipple. And so I got my boob out and Craig licked it because he's hilarious, you know.
Yeah.
Never decline an offer, theatre sports.
Good boy.
And so he had decided to, you know, properly lick my nipple in the roundabout and just ripped my shirt open. And it wasn't like a shirt with buttons. He just tore it in half.
Right.
So I either had to walk home half naked or in a onesie. And in my drunken amyl induced state, I decided it was less embarrassing to wear a pair of Peter Alexander pajamas that clearly did not fit and show off my nads than a ripped in half t-shirt.
Right, so you went home, we all went to Mars, and
changed into actual clothes that fit. I'm tottering on a gigantic heels and me in the onesie just having a fairly ordinary conversation about our relationships.
And people in Adelaide are going, oh my God, I just got passed by Cruella De Vit and Grizzly Adams. What's going on here?
It was the most peculiar night. And then we went to the Mars, but it was a little bit of an anticlimax.
Yeah, it was really Mars that night.
What can you do beyond walking down Hindley Street in a onesie? I mean, really, that's as good as it's going
to
get.
And if you've been to Adelaide, you know Hindley Street is not a pretty place.
Oh, my God. It's like Mos Eisley with traffic lights. It's desperate.
That was the nerdiest reference you've ever made. Mos Eisley.
I'm trying. Did I get it right?
Yes.
Am I right?
That's where the cantina is in Star Wars.
A greater hive of villainy. Is that it?
Plumbing new depths of nerdiness.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that's not very nerdy. That's not hardcore nerdy.
No, that's not like Spock and Cock.
A Star Wars. Everyone knows Star Wars.
But still, it's
pretty nerdy.
Do you know what? I was watching, for some reason, I was watching Return of the Jedi or something a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, I'm sorry. Mm.
And I never realised how bad the acting is in those movies.
Oh, yeah. Mark Hamill is awful.
He is terrible.
He is awful. Abominable.
He is like, he's like he's about as good as the infomercial people on the server. Yeah.
No, but do you know the problem?
Luke Skywalker should be Luke's space saver.
I think it's George Lucas.
Because he doesn't direct
Liam
actors.
Neeson is one of the finest actors who ever lived.
Oh, yeah, but he didn't have much to work with.
But
in
then
that
he turns up in The Phantom Menace and it's like, yes, he's got a high midichlorian count. How much am I getting paid for this?
Yeah, yeah. Well, all of them. Like, what's his name? He played Obi-Wan.
Ewan McGregor.
Ewan McGregor is a great actor.
And he didn't just phone it in. He went, oh, I'm totes going to do 3 films worth of Alec Guinness impression.
Yeah.
He's watched the first thing and gone, right, I'm totes Obi-Wan. Here we go.
Yeah, but those films aren't fair because the dialogue, the writing is so terrible in those films.
Awful,
it is like an instruction manual. It is.
Although I find Empire Strikes Back quite good. Like with
Empire
dialogue
is,
and acting. Like it looks like they've
Empire
tried
was directed
really
by
hard.
Somebody else though.
Now it who was. Is being a nerd.
Oh yeah.
All the hardcore nerds like Empire. Just to be that is like indie nerd.
Yeah.
You pick the one that no one gives a shit about and can't remember. Empire's not even the one with Princess Leia in the bikini. That's Return of the Jedi. What's in Empire?
Empire.
Snow.
Solo gets put in carbonite.
Yeah, it's the sitting in the clouds.
But it has the best scene of any Star Wars, which you've got to get on YouTube and have a look at 10-year-old kids who've never seen Star Wars before watching Empire Strikes Back and the look on their faces when they hear, Luke, I am your father. It is seriously the funniest thing you've ever seen.
Wait, are you not having any idea?
Because 10-year-old kids don't have cultural memory yet.
Wow. It's like kind of giving a baby some lemon for the first time.
So it's quite important narratively. Like, a lot happens.
Yeah. But it's also the midpoint of the trilogy. So it's all the dark shit. It's all the, you know, it ends badly.
Yeah, things are at their worst.
Oh, he gets his hand cut off, doesn't he?
Yeah, he loses his hand. Han Solo's, you know, packed off in carbonite.
Which one is Lando Calrissian?
Yeah, that's the first one.
That's the middle one.
Yeah.
That's the middle one where he tricks him into a hole.
Pretty much.
He tricks them all into a hole.
You're obsessed with being tricked into a hole.
It's just the best science fiction device.
Yeah, it tricks the robot into a hole.
Just trick things into a hole. Don't fuck with the formula, Lucas. Don't mess with the immutable rules of showbiz.
Because you haven't been enjoying Doctor Who lately because of that.
I can't fucking stand it. Oh, my God. It's like a soap opera with rockets.
We should explain. You're not mad for science fiction. This is all Peter.
I don't, but I can take it or leave it.
Yeah.
You know.
Right.
Yeah, but...
Whereas Adam and I are complete fucking nuts for it.
Yeah. And my husband, Peter, is crazy for it.
Yeah.
Like, he throws shit at the television and, like, he watches Doctor Who while he's reading a blog about the episode that he's watching.
Oh, wow.
Like, he's 10th Dan.
Wow, yeah. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah. I said something to him the other day about just something about the house or whatever, you know, like, can you put that there or I'm going to go shopping and buy some whatever. And he goes, you're so Russell T. Davies about everything.
What does that even mean?
I don't know.
He's just making up his own
insults
now.
Russell T. Davis was like the executive producer for 5 years.
No, but Peter has very firm views on the episodes that Russell T. Davies writes versus the episodes that Stephen Moffat writes.
Right.
Very firm views.
The fact that you know both of those names
means that
he talks about it quite a lot.
Exactly. Yeah, my God.
No, but it's Davis. Not Davis.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, because he's Welsh.
Davis.
Yeah, I know.
So in revenge, I'm going to make sure that he knows every CD that Pernilla Wahlgren has ever released in Sweden.
Who was Pernilla Wahlgren when she's at home?
Pernilla Wahlgren? Who is Pernilla Wahlgren?
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God, she's tipping off again.
He's turned.
Pernilla Wahlgren, she's basically Swedish Kerri-Anne Kennelly. And she's,
oh, heaven. Oh,
wow. And so she had a huge hit.
I can't think why we haven't heard of her then.
She had a huge hit in 1986 with a song called Piccadilly Circus. That was number 1 in Sweden for 6 weeks running. She was in Melody Festival in 2011 with Jagvul Umdvugar.
Oh, wow.
And she's done a few more Melody Festivals. We were talking about showbiz mothers before. Yeah. She's a showbiz mother because her son, Benjamin Wahlgren,
yes.
She had a TV show, so she would sing with him when he was a little boy. and now he's like a Swedish Bieber. He's like a 16-year-old.
Oh, wow.
So sometimes you know, the Goldgrins will do gigs. A Sweeper.
this is a bad thing to start because, you know, Liza used to sing on the Judy Show.
Yes.
And you know where that ends. Uh-huh. Two gay marriages later.
Yeah. Your future is laid out ahead of you, Benjamin.
Yeah.
Run. Get out while there's still time. In fact, you know who else? Venky Myra, who has sung like... Venky Myra's sung for Germany a couple times, and she's Norwegian, but she tends to sing for Germany and has had quite a big career in Germany. She's got a son. She's got a little boy. I can't think of his name, but they sing together too. And, oh, and he has grown up into a piece of work. I've seen interviews with Venky Myra's son, and he has got tickets on himself.
Well, that's wow. You know, Barbara put her kid in one of her movies, and now he's screaming fag from hell.
Do you want to be, I'll be back in a minute. I'm just going to Wikipedia, children of Eurovision stars.
Ah, yes.
I want to know more.
I think there's a thesis in
well,
this.
I think there's, doctorate. Before we get to the end of this very special episode, which has just all been about going to Adelaide and all of a sudden Eurovision.
Yeah.
I think we should talk about rectal integrity as it pertains to our time in Adelaide. Because I did
I
mentioned it on Twitter and I mentioned it on Facebook and people really want to know. Toby did mention it in his blog.
Yes.
But for our illiterate listeners.
All right. Well.
Of which there are many.
Yes.
For all the twinks.
Yeah. I think it was the Friday night that we were in Adelaide. We were pretty boozy.
Wasn't it the Wednesday? It was the one night you didn't do trade.
Friday. Sure. It was
for
Friday.
For reasons that will become clear.
Yes.
Oh, no, I can't remember. We were all three together. Yes, it was Wednesday. Because it was the first night Toby came to town.
It wasn't the first night.
No. The first night Toby came to town.
No. Oh, anyway.
It doesn't matter.
Anyway. We were actually going home quite early. It was like about midnight or something because we were all just been drunk for the last few nights and we were just fucked. And
we'd been there for one night and Toby and I just arrived.
No, I'm sure it was Friday night.
Because I had to go to work the next day.
Because we talked about
Thursday
it on stage
Thursday
afterwards.
Night.
No, Thursday night you did trade and Toby was woken up by your trade. It was definitely Wednesday.
It was definitely Wednesday.
Friday was Amel Factory.
Anyway.
early on.
It was the second night. Don't make out like it's because
it
you were trashed.
Too.
It was the second night.
It was the
night.
Second night. Anyway.
I love how he's trying to give it a preamble. Oh, we've been drinking for days and that's the reason.
No, this
is just you.
This is just me.
I'd been in town about 4 hours.
Yeah. So walking home, I was pretty hammered.
We weren't that drunk. We'd had a couple of. Champagne.
I was a little bit boozy. Walking home
before we tell it, can we all just? I'm going to say one word to you, and I want to see your reaction.
Oh, here we go.
The sweet champagne.
Oh.
Someone brought us a bottle of sweet champagne on stage. Very sweet boy that was doing our
yes,
lights.
Yes, very sweet.
And he didn't know.
It's fucking detergent.
Yeah. I reckon I blame that. I blame
that.
That
was on Friday.
It was a retroactive kind of effect. This is me trying to find
you cannot get out of this.
All right, let me get
own
to
it,
the story. All right,
okay.
So we're walking home. We're about a block from our apartment and I kind of, well, I gambled on a fart and lost. I was walking along.
You lost rectal integrity.
I did. I was walking along between you two and I went, oh, I really need to fart. Oh, I'm just going to... Oh, no. Oh, my God.
Look, full credit to you, Scott. I didn't know.
I didn't notice either.
That's why I was walking behind.
I mean, you always walk like that.
Yeah, that's true. Yes. That's just advertising. But, yeah, totally just walking along, pooed my pants, got back to the hotel going, please, let's get the stairs, not the elevator. Let's get the stairs. I'm so glad.
Because I'm being fit, I've been taking the stairs every day.
Yeah, and I'm so glad because once we set foot in that lift, you would have gone,
we would have gone.
Oh, did someone step in something? Well, in a manner of speaking.
someone shit the nest.
so that was kind of fun.
Wow.
You are one classy bitch.
New high.
Yeah.
New high.
Yep.
I don't think we're ever going to top it.
We are never going to top that.
No. That's what I'm here for.
I think Adelaide was a high watermark. I can't imagine topping rectal integrity, double trade, Amel Factory, and the traffic
angry,
island.
Angry lesbians.
Angry lesbians. I don't think it's going to improve.
We had three shows of absolutely spectacular mess. Oh, we didn't even mention the fucking... Oh, my God. Can we talk about Scott? Or is this something we need to talk about off air?
What?
Well, you know, in our show...
We'll fix it in post. What?
Occasionally, we get someone out of the audience to be part of the show. And we went through a period of Scott getting quite manly-looking men, you know, guys that looked possibly like they could be straight. And then he just abandoned all sense in Adelaide and got someone that looked like Taylor Lautner.
Yeah. No, not even. I actually just went for the... There was a sea of twinks when I went out. And I just went, well, if I'm going to get a twink, I'm going to get the twinkiest one.
Oh, my God. He was still studying for his birth certificate.
Yeah,
he was so young. He looked like Taylor Lautner if he hadn't worked out.
Yeah.
And still had braces on his teeth.
He had braces.
Oh. Scott, no wonder you lost rectal integrity. Your ass was going, no, not the braces.
Yeah, and he was bad talent too, wasn't he? Good, was he?
He wasn't that pretty close up.
Yeah, he had kind of.
I wasn't going for prettiness. I was going for twinkiness. He was like,
he was
super
uber twink.
Uber twink.
And also slutty with it. Remember?
Yeah. Yes. Well, he didn't say that. His friends all went. Yes, he's a whore.
Yeah. Good friends. It's what good friends do. Yeah.
We just did it to Scott three times in this podcast.
That's true.
No, I think I did it to myself. I think the real winner here is sluttiness.
I've never felt worse in my life than Saturday morning.
Oh my God.
Waking up after the shows.
Jesus Christ.
I really felt bad.
Toby said, I just want to go to the movies and see some terrible film where someone dies.
We actually did.
Yeah, we went to see an Australian movie and we sat in the dark. But Toby left like 20 minutes earlier and I was like, I thought he was just going to the toilet and he never came back.
Yeah.
It's because I was sat in there with sunglasses on watching this.
And it was watching the acting.
The acting.
And it was still too bright and loud.
So you went and had a lay down on a couch in the
corridor.
On a couch next to a rubbish bin.
I'm right here.
And remember when we were walking past Harris Scarf? A spruiker who we thought was talking to us.
It was just coincidence, but I think he was talking to us. We're walking past Harris Scarf, which is this kind of, you know, Mingan department store in the middle of Adelaide. And the spruiker just hear the right thing at the right time. Yeah. We hear the spruiker go, remember, girls, Harris Scarf is open.
Like there'd been some confusion over whether or not it was.
We were just wandering Adelaide. Where's Harris Scarf?
Why isn't it? Oh, it's not open.
Maybe it's not open. We need someone to tell us.
Oh, there was so much wrong with that whole day.
That whole week. It was so, Adelaide, we're sorry we came and ruined your lesbian festival.
Yeah.
We'll be back next time with the podcast.